We are taxed 1% of our gross earnings as fishermen goes to marketing. And we work together with the processors and the wholesale and retail industry to return ourselves the best possible interest for these products. Clearly, we cooperate on the grounds to get our fish out of our gear, over our decks, onto a transportation network that gets fish over the dock and into the processor's pipeline, and then down the road to service these markets where we're spending our marketing dollars. When it's all coming time, everything comes down and is due and payable, there is a strict proprietary secret that the processors withhold from us, and that is how much this product was worth until a year and a half later when they are required to report through Commercial Operators Annual Report at Alaska Department of Fish and Game the results, well, at the end of a year and then a year and a half after the fishing season, we get the results of the market. It's dysfunctional. We are asked to be co-producers, we co-produce, we co-sell, and then we are returned something on a value that we have no idea what was paid. I liken it to being a part of a corporation. And I would be the production guy, and my partner would be over there. He's the accounting guy. He goes out there and takes all the information and sells the product. Then when it comes to divvy up, the accounting guy just pays me something and withholds the information. It clearly is a dysfunctional relationship, and I don't see that there is any other business that I know of that this arrangement, people conduct business under this arrangement in such secrecy, and especially on a public resource. In this corporation, you have stockholders. The stockholders are the public of Alaska. Everybody in the state of Alaska has a vested interest in the ex-vessel value of commercial fisheries via the tax revenues that they generate to the general fund, to the ASME program, to the hatchery programs, and to the coastal community. These stockholders get an annual report a year and a half late, and if they get asked, if anybody asks, what it was worth, no one is willing to share this information with them. I think it is a responsibility. I think it's incumbent upon government to somehow restore an element of trust, to somehow get an element of transparency in this very important industry here in Alaska that we call salmon fishing, commercial salmon fishing. That's the primary, that's the premise upon which USA has approached this, the United Salmon Association. As to the intricacy and the details of what you've heard here today, I'd be happy to clarify for you anything I can, help you through any of the details that might be unclear here. But when it's all said and done, getting our arms around this is going to be much easier with a definition, a point, a first wholesale value that we can all go to, we can all look at, and see and understand our position in this industry and in the market. That's where I start, and I'll be glad to answer any questions if you have any questions.
It's really frustrating. I think everybody can see the problem. And I just have this uneasy feeling that we're not after the best. See any other way for us to solve this thing? You know, somebody here earlier was talking about they had a deal with their fishermen to let them see the books and share the risk. And I guess that would satisfy me.
I've been down that road. I am entertaining that sort of shared relationship with the processor for my herring this year, this spring. I have participated in these programs in the past for black cod, for halibut, for herring. For salmon, it's a completely different story. And I really am at the end of my investigations as to why. this is where it has led me, where it has led us, United Salmon Association, over the last 7 years. We started out seeking transparent relationships with processors, profit-sharing relationships, maybe even investing in the assets to process salmon with processors, and we failed and failed and failed. We ended up in price action with processors in twice in the 90s. That's unprecedented to have two price actions in a decade in the salmon business, but that's where things are coming to. There's so much transparency and there's such a level of understanding in all the other aspects of our business that this one missing piece of information is something that the processors tenaciously hang on to, and regardless of their anybody's desire to enter into these agreements, the closest we have come is the price contracts we currently have at U.S. United Salmon Association for thermally processed salmon. We have a very good price index. We have very successfully negotiated contracts with processors that have a in-season ex-vessel price and have a settlement schedule based on the performance of the wholesale season after the season, which is based on the reporting of the WPR by processors to Commerce or to Department of Revenue. It's working now. And I believe it can work for these other product forms, which we don't have.
I practice my reflective listening skills. My wife's trying to teach me. In order, if I may, it has worked in other kinds of cases.
What has
or having a transparency relationship with some other processors or some other kind of fish?
Yes.
Okay.
Herring, cod.
So then the question that falls out is what makes salmon so different? You know, you can come back to that. And then you said, great idea with salmon, but your experience over many years is that it just won't work. Whether it's because the market's different or the product's different, processors are all bad guys, you know, whatever it is, it doesn't work. And then your words were, so after all these years of trying to make the transparency, shared risk, partnership work, finally we're down to this. Maybe we're flying by the camera. Maybe this is the exquisite best thing. But what you heard you say was the last thing after all these efforts you've kind of come to, you've got to do to make this work. And then you said, has made it work for some kinds of salmon fishing in some areas.
Mm-hmm. Is that right? Yeah, I'd say that's fair, accurate.
What kind of a hammer does it take to get what is now working on other species of fish and what is now working in the contract you negotiated? What does it take to make that happen?
A reasonable dialogue with your processors and a wholesale price index, for lack of anything better to call it, upon which to base the ex-vessel value in season and then attach yourself to the market value of it over time as the product is sold after the season.
Do you believe that what we're about here today gets us part of all the way?
It gets us to the part where we have that wholesale price index that we can negotiate a price and settlement with the processors for. The dialogue part is that's up to the fisherman by region, probably by processor, by species type. It can take a number of different forms.
I don't know whether you get credit than me, but I think I understand better now.
Glad to be able to help.
Are there any other questions? Is that it, Representative Dyson, or do you have
any? No, I'm done.
Any other questions for Scott? Is there anybody else here who wishes to have the last word on the public testimony? Chairman. Okay, with that, we're going to close the public testimony. And I do have, we all should have some amendments here.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move amendment number one, which is PAC/G.1, Udamal.
Hey, any objections?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to have that.
Representative Whitaker, you don't have a copy of it?
Thank you.
Nope.
Number two.
Page 3-1, is that what you call amendment
yes.
one?
Yes.
Page 2-22.
Page 3 following line 26. Mm-hmm. Any objection?
May I have just a moment?
Do you want to object
for the purposes of discussion, at least? I'll object.
I want to know. I want somebody from the bill sponsor to tell us why this is being done and what it accomplished.
Sat there for a long time. Now you get the hot seat.
Yeah, I do. For the record, I'm Joni Waller, staff to Alan Osterman. To answer your question, ISA International Seafood of Alaska, whatever they call, they were concerned that being that they're in secondary processing, they wanted to clarify that that this reporting wouldn't affect them because they're value-added processor and not a primary processor.
And then by implication, then, they're saying that whatever they do with the fish at whatever cost and price isn't going to affect the value that this report is aimed at. Taking them out of the game doesn't affect the value of the core report, even as amended. That's your position, right?
Assumedly, yes. They wanted to clarify that the fish has already gone through a primary processor or production line and will have already been taken into account on the business tax.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to need to do a little more processing myself about this. You know, and if you're counting on me at a vote tomorrow, my guess is, without having talked some more to some of these folks, that there'd be some interesting discussion about what becomes a secondary processor. And some of the processors will say, you know, part of my business is primary and a part of it is secondary. And, you know, I just need to hear some more talk and discussion about that. But I appreciate the effort. And I think it's well intended and maybe well executed.
Okay, there's a motion to accept the amendment, and there's an objection. Is the objection still maintained on the amendment?
No.
Objection is removed. Is there anybody else with objections to the amendment? Okay, seeing none, the amendment is, the First Amendment is adopted. We have a Second Amendment. Representative Morgan.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we accept amendment PAC/G.2.
Okay, page 4, lines 11 through 17.
Page 4, line 11 through 17.
Any objection? I guess I'll object just to hear the explanation from the sponsor again.
I would like to call someone up to answer that.
Absolutely.
Mr. Chairman, I believe
you're Scott McAllister.
I'm Scott McAllister, United Family Association, and I've been asked to speak to this amendment, this second amendment to House Bill 363. This came into discussion with revenue as a cost-cutting measure to reduce the amount of the fiscal note that will go with this bill in revenue. This consolidates the fishing areas, as previously described in the bill, into a fewer amount, eight. Yeah. And it consolidates Aleutian Islands, Atkamila Islands, and Alaska Peninsula into one area of reporting. Kuskokwim, Yukon North, Norton Sound, Port Clarence into one, and combined Southeast and Yakutat into one. The rest stand alone as the regional management areas, as described before, and Kotzebue. That was the reason for this amendment, and it was in brief discussion with Larry Priscilli. He said that this would help in reducing the cost or the fiscal note associated with this. Okay, well, that's what he told me.
And the intent is to tighten up the district so that you have less reporting areas so that
You have less fields of data to enter. And
okay. Any other questions for your sponsor? I will remove my objection. Is there anybody other objections? And the Second Amendment passes as well. Okay, I don't believe that we have the votes to move this bill out of committee this evening. And as much as I'd like to see this continue to move along, in deference to Representative Dyson and anybody else that may still have questions, and the fact that we don't have anybody, I'm disappointed we don't have anybody from the fishing game here this evening. I'm going to hold this bill over. I'd like to be able to get some information and have a hearing, have another meeting midweek if we can, because we only have obviously we only are scheduled for one day a week, and that's another whole week in this time of the year. This bill wants to have a chance to do anything in the process. We have to move along in some sort of orderly manner. So with that, I'm going to,
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Dyson.
Thank you. Respectfully, it's a call of the chair, but I always kind of like to get the amendments out first so that folks can testify, can also address them. And this one here on secondary processing, I think when we reconvene on this, I would appreciate if you'd let a couple of the folks here, you know, weigh in on that one. I hope I'm wrong, but I think that's going to be problematic, that definition, and I would enjoy your allowing at least a bit of testimony on that.
Absolutely. I will open up testimony when we reconvene. Okay, with that, we're adjourned.